This Valentine's Day, I'll be thinking about 57 years ago on Valentine's Day. Ann and I went to this little jewelry store in Arkadelphia, and we went in and we were looking for rings. Did we get an engagement ring and a wedding ring? Do you remember? Yeah, she remembers everything. And she probably remembers how much they cost. Did we pay them out? You probably saved up the money because I didn't have any. Anyway, 57 years ago on Valentine's Day, we went to the little jewelry store downtown Arkadelphia and got those rings. Is this still it? You still got yours? Still, you can't get yours off. But anyway, it's still there. And I'm thinking about that, thinking how blessed that I am, how thankful that we are. Nothing to brag about. I mean, it's by the grace of God, but we're so thankful for His grace. And we've been this 57 years. August the 11th will be 57 years. So we got the engagement ring on Valentine's Day and got married in August, didn't we? Didn't take me long. Didn't take you long either, did it? That's right. You'll be remembering some in your own life. Hopefully Valentine's Day is a special day in your time as well. Today, if you don't like the sermon at the end of the service, I'll expect y'all to be tearing up your bulletins. Most everybody knows about what Pelosi did after the State of the Union address. Wasn't that something so if I see y'all tearing up your bulletins, I'll know that you thought it was not a good sermon today. There's a book that we've had around our home for a long, long time called The Five Love Languages. And it's one of the most popular books about love. Gary Chapman has gotten rich after he wrote that, and I heard on American Family Radio this week there were a couple talking about this, and they said, well, it's still one of the finest books for married couples or those who want to love better to read, and said whenever something comes out better, they'll promote that. So it's still thought of as a classic help book. The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. I looked a while ago to see if it's in the library. Is it? We couldn't find in the card. Anyway, if it's not, but this is in our home library. The Five Love Languages. How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate. And it's principally to husbands and wives. But this would apply to everybody. And as a matter of fact, he has written books about the five love languages for children, the five love languages for teenagers, another book, the five love languages for singles, and he didn't have five languages. Anyway, those are the books that he's written so far. And The Marriage You've Always Wanted, The Love Languages of God, The Other Side of Love, and Loving Solutions. So he's quite an authority, a counselor. He's been around for a long, long time. But the book on the five languages of love, and so I kind of centered my thoughts around that today. You may be saying, well, what are the five languages of love? Well, number one, if you're taking notes, it is words of affirmation. Words of affirmation, words that make other people feel good, compliments, words of affirmation. Number two, the second thing, is quality time. Quality time. The time that we have together, make it worthwhile. Quality time. Number three is receiving gifts. And that's one of the ways that the language of love, giving and receiving of gifts. Number four is acts of service. Acts of service, doing things for one another that will help, that they will show our love for one another. And then number five is physical touch. And that's such a very important, and when we think of the language of love, many times that's the first thing we think about, physical touch. So words of affirmation, quality time, receiving of gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Now, I could go into all of those different areas, but what's been intriguing me in my thoughts the last few days is that I can look in the life of Jesus and find how that he showed all of those acts of love. And so I kind of want to look at Jesus and see how he did that rather than just talk on a practical level to men and women, husbands and wives, children, and it applies to everyone. So first of all, I want to look at a word, the words of affirmation. Luke chapter 2, and I believe the scriptures will be up on the screen for you to read. In Luke chapter 24, verses 50 and 51, it says, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass, when he blessed them, he was parted from them and was carried up into heaven." This is the time when Jesus ascended into heaven and he blessed his disciples. Here they were gathered about him. There were 11, weren't there? Judas wasn't in the crowd. He was one of the 12 disciples, but he had already betrayed Christ and taken his life and so forth. But there were the disciples looking at Jesus and listening. And it says that he lifted up his hands and he blessed them with words of affirmation. They were his followers. They were his children. They loved him and they followed him. And he said blessings upon those disciples. Then there's another example in Matthew 26, verses 10 and 11. Matthew 26, 10 and 11. There was the woman who came and you remember she had a box of precious ointment. It smelled so good and it was very expensive. And so she came into the house of Simon, who was a leper. And she came in with an alabaster box of precious ointment and began to pour it on the head as he was eating. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. They were angry at her, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? This ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." And Jesus understood it and said unto them, and this is that verse, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why are you troubling this woman? She hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but I will not always be with you," he said. And so he said about this, "For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." And then he said about the woman, "Verily I say unto you, wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, they shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." So here she was. She poured this precious ointment upon the head of Jesus. The disciples got angry. They got mad. They criticized her. They said, "Why'd you waste the good ointment on this? You could have sold it and give it to the poor folks out there. And Jesus said, oh, you'll have poor folks with you all the time. He was not belittling the poor people and all. He was just saying, they're around all the time and you'll do good to them all the time. I'm not going to be here all the time. And what she did, she's doing out of her heart in her love for me. And he says what this woman has done will be known forever. And it has been. And it's been 2,000 years and we're still reading about that woman who poured out her love on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a word of affirmation. That's saying something wonderful about that lady. There's a passage in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, and it says this. Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus. This is what he said. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto those who hear. Now look at that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I wish I always obeyed that command. I wish all of us did. I wish that Nancy Pelosi did. I wish that our President Donald Trump did. I mean, it's just a two-way. He says some things that I get so embarrassed, and I think nobody ought to speak like that to women or others, and it just makes, it's awful. Coming from both, we've got the examples, Democrats and Republicans and everybody else, and they don't know how to talk civilly, and they don't know how to talk Christian talk. To me, it's very troubling. Paul is saying, and the Lord is saying to us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That word edifying means to build up. So what I say to you and what I say to you and you say to me ought not to be corrupt communication, but it ought to be something that would build me up. I look down here at Gene Strode and I say, Gene, I just love your short hair. That's a compliment. I wish I didn't have to have trouble combing my blooming hair sometimes. And I'd look over there at Chestine and I'd say, Chestine, my, you're one of the finest men I ever knew. Yeah, a good hunter and all of that sort of thing. No, we need words of compliment. See, I'm just speaking over the top of my head right here. I'm like the president. I don't think before I speak. Not all the time. That's for sure. But this is what the word says. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which will build up and encourage others. Oh, we need to remember that, do we not? So there's words of affirmation, and we all know that. As husbands and wives, as a boyfriend, girlfriend, as children, to parents, say words that build one another up. I've been married now for 57 years. Someone says, well, you've been married a long time. What's your word on it? Recently somebody said to me, I said, I've been married 57 years, 56 years. And they said, well, how did you do that? And then they said, a lot of compromising. And I said, you hit it right on the head. It takes a lot of compromising in the good sense, not the bad sense, the good sense, in your life, in your marriage, for it all to really work. Words of affirmation. Number two is quality time. And let's look in the life of Jesus about that. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10. Jesus is our example, of course, in everything. And in Matthew 9, verses 9 and 10, as Jesus passed forth from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said unto him, follow me. And Matthew arose and followed him. There he was, sitting at the tax office, Matthew. Tax collectors in those days didn't have a very good reputation. And sometimes they don't have a very good reputation today, I guess. But Matthew was sitting there at the tax office. And Jesus said, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat eating in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and with his disciples. Now, Jesus is one who spent quality time with those who followed him. He went and had a meal at the home of Matthew. And when the disciples saw it, they said to the disciples, "Why is your master eating with tax collectors and sinners?" And that's when Jesus said, "They that are well don't need a physician, but they that are sick. Go and learn what means I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." So Jesus wanted to be where the bad people were. Now, I realize we have to teach our children that it's really good not to hang out with the bad crowds, those who are on drugs and who do profane and ugly and terrible things. We train them not to hang around with those. And sometimes they want to say, "Well, I'm hanging around with that group because Jesus hung around with sinners." Well, that's true. And I'm glad that if you think that way, you know that Jesus hung around with sinners. He did. But he was there hoping to change them. He was there hoping to give them hope and salvation. And so there he was with the sinners. But he was there, and some of the folks, the Pharisees and all, they criticized him. And they said, "He eats with sinners, he goes to homes with sinners, he has meals with sinners, he spends the night with sinful people." And so you have to keep that in a right perspective. Some of us don't hang around with sinners enough. And therefore, when we say, "Do you know any lost people that we could go visit and try to witness to them that they might be saved?" Then people say, "Well, you know, Brother Dave, I just don't know any lost people. All I know are my church friends." Well, that's a good thing. We know church friends, but we need to know those out there who need the Lord Jesus. Wednesday night, we had our associational missionary came, popped in on us here. And so I asked him to get up and say some words, and he did. And I found out that Robbie Sherman, he has a heart for the lost. And I said, "Robbie, we're going to sing your favorite song. What is it?" And he said, "Rescue the Perishing." He said, "It may not be in your songbook." I said, "Oh, yes, it is. We sing that all the time." But his heart is, and this meeting this afternoon that we're having at Ashdown is coming about because his heart and his vision is that we in our churches out here, like First Baptist of Derrick's, we would be a soul-winning church reaching out to the lost around us. So you got to know some lost people, you see, before you can ever witness to them. And if you do not tell them about Jesus, they will not be saved. Jesus had dinner. He spent quality time. Luke chapter 19 is another example. Luke chapter 19. And this is the story of Zacchaeus. And you know the story of Zacchaeus, of course. He was that short little guy. He wanted to see Jesus. And he tried to figure out a way to do it. So he climbed up in a oak tree. Sycamore tree. That's what he did. They didn't have oak tree. They had a sycamore tree. And he climbed up in the sycamore tree to try to see Jesus. And so there in Luke chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus. And he said, 'Zacchaeus,'" he knew his name, that lost man, Zacchaeus. He knew his name. Zacchaeus, I guess it was Zach. Zach on the back there. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down. Oh, Zach just came rushing out of that tree and received him joyfully. Quality time is showing love. Jesus was showing love to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 46, some quality time that Jesus spent with his disciples after his resurrection. Notice, and as they spoke, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and afraid, and they thought they had seen a ghost, a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, he said, and my feet. It is I myself. It is I myself. Handle me and see, because a ghost, a spirit, a spook doesn't have flesh and bones. He said, handle me. This was after the resurrection. Here he had died upon the cross, given his life for us. He's been resurrected out of the tomb, came alive after 3 days and three nights. And here he is. He's not a ghost. He's not a spook. He's not a spirit, as that goes. He's a person. He's still Jesus. And he says, handle me, my flesh. I have bones. And soon he'd be eating fish with him and all the other things that he did after his resurrection in his resurrection body. But he spent quality time with his disciples after his resurrection. Then the matter of showing love and the five languages of love, words of affirmation, quality time, and then receiving and giving of gifts. I don't know. Ann and I were talking about that this week, trying to kind of, she said, now, I'm trying to figure out you, and I was trying to figure out her about these gifts sort of thing. I don't know, a giving of gifts, and I got a surprise for her Thursday she don't even know about. Now she's going to wonder and wonder what that surprise is. Giving of gifts. Jesus, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. Matthew 7:11. And you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? One way of showing love, you see, giving of gifts. And Jesus said, even though we're evil, we're just people with all of our faults, we know to give good gifts unto our children. The worst people probably do that, give good gifts. He says, how much more your Father in heaven is going to give good things to those that ask him. Giving and receiving of gifts. In Matthew 15, verse 35 through 37, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks and broke it, gave it to his disciples and to the multitude. Jesus was one who gave, and certainly he gave his life for us, giving and receiving of gifts. That's so important in a marriage, in a relationship. Loving to get something as a gift for another. It could be money, but it might be just the gift of your time, the gift of your attention. We all receive and give gifts in different ways, but that's so important. Number four, acts of service. Acts of service. We're talking about language of love, words of affirmation. I show my love to my wife by how I speak to her, what I say to her. She shows her love to me in that way. And when I use terrible things and say bad things, that does not affirm. I found that in our marriage, my words hurt her more than almost anything. And I can say the wrong thing, sometimes just in the wrong way. I've heard her say many times, but it's your sound of your voice. I know what you say, but the sound of your voice has another message in it. We do read each other that way, do we not? Children and parents, parents and all of us, the words of affirmation are so important. And the time that we spend, certainly jobs that we have make a difference in all of our lives, and some of us find it real hard, but the time that we do have, and that we could have quality time doing things together, and that's in our marriage, we have loved so much doing things together, and we still do. I'd rather be with her than anybody. I'd rather be with her than any of you. And I hope that you'd rather be with your mate than me or any of us. It ought to be that way, that our greatest joy is with one another. Loving, showing love, our time together, giving gifts to, and then the acts of service. In John chapter 13, here's another. My guy's putting my verses back there. It tastes better than turning my Bible. It saves time, doesn't it, Gary? Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, Jesus was a lover, and he wants us to love him. And the greatest of all things is love. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them until the end. He loved them and he still loves them. He loved them. The next verse. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rose up from supper, laid aside his garments, he took a towel and girded himself. What's he going to do? After that, he poured water in a basin, began to do what? Wash the disciples' old, ugly, stinking feet. Yuck. He poured water in the basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. You see, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And then he said to them, you all ought to wash one another's feet. This to me was one of the things that Jesus did that showed his great love and how human he was, washing the feet of his disciples. And he said, we ought to wash one another's feet. Acts of service, doing things for one another. We had the funeral service yesterday for Anna's lifelong friend, Rebecca. It's in your, we prayed for her for weeks. She's been really sick for 5 years and knew about 5 years and 4 years ago, the doctor said, there ain't nothing more we can do for you. And so she has been pretty well bedfast with a lung, terrible lung problem. Couldn't get her breath. But her husband, Jim, oh, he's been a classic, taking care of her. At the funeral yesterday, their pastor, I heard him say about, he said, Jim, I've witnessed you and you have taken care of Rebecca these 5 years. Well, they've been married 55 years. She was in our wedding and Anna was in her wedding, and so we go all the way back. But he complimented Jim, her husband, by saying, you were there. You took care of her. He's an engineer. He worked in Cape Canaveral. We went to Florida one time and visited Jim and Rebecca in their home when he was working at Cape Canaveral. They live in Arkadelphia. They've been there many years now, grew up there. But the preacher said, we have observed your acts of service, that you have watched over her, you have waited for her day and night and day, and taken care of her. And I was thinking about that and all the ones around Derek's that I've seen, some of you all doing that same sort of thing, and how important that is. I saw my mother take care of my father. He took care of her, but in those last years, she was having to do everything for him. She could hardly do it, but she did anyway. Loving, showing love. We all know that's the way to show love. Jesus showed love to us. He came to serve. And then number five, physical touch. We all know about that, how important that is. Little acts. This is a personal thing, but I was in my bathroom and Anna was in her bathroom and the wall between us. And all these many years, what does that mean? I love you. We've done that for, I don't know when it started, but I get touched thinking about it. And this morning I reached up after I was standing there shaving, and I did, and she back to me. That's a simple thing, but it was a way of communicating, and it's been that way for a long time, and it means so much. Just little things like that are so meaningful in our lives. Well, Jesus was one of those who showed love through physical touch, and of course, taking her hand, helping her out of the car. Now it's trying to help her up in the pickup. She can't hardly get in the pickup. And she said, honey, we got to go in the car because she hurts so much in her back. But I think, and I've been doing that, trying to help her by touching, by helping. That's so essential and important in your marriage, in your relationship with one another. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 3, Jesus put forth his hand and touched that man and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. But Jesus touched the leper. In those days, and I suppose even now, you didn't touch someone with a terrible disease like that, but Jesus broke a tradition and went and touched the leper and healed him. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 15, Peter had a wife and her mother got sick, and she was really, really sick. And Peter came and it says he touched her hand. Jesus touched her hand, not Peter, and Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Here was another time when Jesus actually touched her. And Mark 10:16, I love this passage. Jesus is there. People are bringing their little children to Jesus, because Jesus loves the little children. And Jesus took them up in his arms. Can you see that? Took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and what? Blessed them. What a thrill that was to the parents. What a thrill that was to the children. And I've often wondered, whatever happened to those kids? I don't know how many of them there were. It doesn't say. But it says they brought their children. He took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Gave them affirmation. Gave a blessing upon those little children. Well, we all know that we show love and we need to show love in the way that we live with one another. It's so important, and I hope and pray that on this Valentine's Day and this week that we'll think about all of this. These words of affirmation. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so it is. Quality time. Jesus said, Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Spend quality time together. Give gifts to one another. By love, serve one another. Galatians 5:13. And then about physical touch, Paul says in the book of Romans in chapter 16 and verse 16, he says to the church, greet one another with a holy what? Kiss. That's pretty personal. Over in the Mideast and those places over there, we see them all the time. Even the men kiss each other on one cheek and then on the other cheek. And we all think that's a weird kind of a thing, but nothing wrong with that. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Goes all the way back in the history of those societies. But Paul said, greet one another with a holy kiss. He's saying that we show love for one another. A handshake, a hug. Someone said about hugging, you have to be careful these days. I have to be very careful about hugging, you know. Folks get in trouble by touching and hugging. It's becoming a crazy day with crazy stuff. I'm getting so old, I think about all of that. I mean, when you get a hug, you know. But anyway, someone did say, it takes 4 hugs a day for survival, 8 hugs a day for maintenance, and 12 hugs a day for growth. That's a lot of hugging. Husbands know that about wives. Wives know that about husbands. Children know that about parents. And parents know that about children too. This thing of physical touch, it's a precious thing, and it's terrible when it's abused, as so often we hear in the news about it being abused. So on this Valentine's Day weekend, let's think about love. Let's think about the way we show love. And if you want to get that book and read it, you can. And it might help you. I know Anna said she read it years ago and it helped her so much. And so I haven't read it all that much, but a lot of illustrations about how to do those various things in our life. You know, the greatest love of all is the love of God for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loves you. He loves me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. We're grateful that You showed it. You didn't just say it, but You showed it in what You did. And You're still showing Your love to us in today, right this moment, in what You're doing in our lives. Father, I pray that just as we are, we would make a decision now for You. I pray for those that are lost that they might be saved, for those that are saved that they might rededicate their lives and be drawn closer to You. I pray for those that might want to join the church that they might do that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.